If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is my favorite segment of the show, by far, no questions asked. It's with Gary Ginsberg, because he is so informative. What's toxic.com? Gary, you're in the heart of Connecticut, where you got bombed with snow on Monday. Is that right?
Well, actually, the storm formed to our east and really nailed places like Worcester, Mass., Boston, on east. But we got a solid 14 inches out of it, and we have already four on the ground, and we're expecting another foot tomorrow night. So finally, winter is catching up to us, and you got to watch out for those lower backs.
Now, what I do, Gary, is I shovel frequently enough so that it's never very heavy at any time. So last Sunday and Monday, we only got 4 inches in Cleveland, but I probably shoveled 8 times, so there was never more than a half inch I had to shovel at any one time.
Yeah, my strategy is more like get the teenagers out, but you only got one shot at that apple, so it's usually or when it's all done and, you know, getting them to get out of their bathrobes and then into the snow.
So what do you do now? Let me go and talk about a hot topic in Texas first. This is almost sad since we're titling this a hot topic in Texas. And, of course, we're talking about how cool it is where you are. What is the temperature right? Let me get it out. What's the temperature right now in Connecticut?
I would say 50. Our high was 19. I haven't tracked the last couple hours. I'd say we're down to about 15 right now.
So tomorrow on Super Bowl Sunday, people will be eating in front of their TV sets, obviously. It's 28-16. On Monday, they get the blast 16-3. And only Thursday of the week is colder than that, where it's 16-1.
I know. It's supposed to be like near zero or below zero. So a good message for this time of the year, especially if these winter storms come, really be safe with your generators, people. And, you know, the trend is more and more people have generators, and they still don't give out a lot of helpful information when you buy the thing. Should be big letters on what to do, what not to do, because you could obviously poison your family, kill yourself in the middle of the night if you do the wrong thing with the generator, which the basic rule is keep it outside of the house, outside of an attached garage, so that the carbon monoxide fumes don't come into the house. And usually you're in a panic when you're using it. So even if you thought you knew what the right thing to do was, you probably don't do exactly the right thing because the lights went out, you can't find a flashlight, you're worried about the freezer, the food, you're worried about keeping your house warm, and then you got to deal with this extra piece of machinery, which is running on gasoline, and the fumes can kill you.
Yeah, so we do have it. Just so you know, Gary, it's more likely we'll die of something else because our generator is outside. You told me to do that. You also told me to have it checked for automatic starting once a year. We do that. And fortunately or unfortunately, it kicks on successfully 2 or 3 times a year here in Cleveland, and it works beautifully. So thank you for all the warnings. But now I need some more help.
So we'll all come to your house, Mike, when the power goes out.
And you know we have a party that we invite everyone who listens to the show. They can come on January 1st. That is on New Year's Day from 2 to 4:30 Eastern time. But now that I've invited the world, my wife will say, "You did what?" Let's talk about something.
It doesn't even end at 4:30.
Let's talk about something serious, Gary. What's this ozone becoming a hot topic in Texas article about?
Right, and why this time of the year? There's no ozone virtually in the wintertime because it's all about the heat and the sunlight of summertime mixing with the hydrocarbons, mostly coming from our tailpipe exhaust, that creates smog or ozone levels. And what's interesting is that Texas has become the focal point of this debate. EPA is trying to do their every five-year update on the ozone standard. And it's at 75 parts per billion. And the administrator, who used to work here in Connecticut, now she's down in Washington, Gina McCarthy, is looking to entertain other numbers. We know that there is no safety margin involved with the ozone standard. So this is the time of the year to fix it, because come next summer, we don't want another summer where there's too many people getting too much exposure. But Texas seems to think that the ozone standard, the state government, seems to think the ozone standard is just fine, and so as is. And so a group of doctors and the official medical society in Texas had a press conference to sort of, you know, put the pressure on the local authorities, and to say to the nation, they don't speak for us, they don't speak for the health authorities, that ozone may cost some extra money to regulate, but that in their worst counties, which includes Dallas, there are many ozone exceedance days a year. There's many extra asthma cases every summer because of ozone. And it's different than Beijing. It's not particulates. It's this reactive, very oxidizing, almost like a blue. Think about inhaling bleach. That's sort of the effect of ozone has on the lungs. Hi, Mike, you there?
I am here. I turned it off because there was an echo I was hearing, so I switched channels for a second. Why is it a hot topic?
It's a hot topic because EPA is trying to figure out what to change the standard to. And some people are arguing, leave it as is. It will cost industries and ultimately the consumer something to lower the standard to make it more health protective for the inner city kids and also for the suburbs, because ozone spreads out into the suburbs. It's a hot topic because right now the book is open on it. This is the time to change and fix the standard. You get this opportunity once every 5 years. Every summer, people, children are having reactions. It's premature aging of the lungs. So kids that grow up in the city with high ozone levels, their lungs may be the lungs of a 40-year-old when they're 20. So that's what we're trying to fix.
Has the ozone level kept going up over time, Gary? Just a quick yes or no, and then I want to get to this France story.
I wish it was that quick. It is going up. The standard, we're trying to drop the standard, but it's like you're on a treadmill, because the cars create the ozone pollution problem, and we are driving more miles. We've got more cars on the road. Even though we've got better controls on the newer fleet, there's still too many of us driving at rush hour when the sun's out. So that's the problem.
Okay, France is trying to cut down on farm pesticides. Give me a break. Is that true?
Yeah.
And is France do anything right?
Yeah. Well, I think that they may be a bit of a model for the rest of Europe and the rest of the world. What we tend to do in this country and in Europe is take one pesticide at a time and to say, gee, the neonicotinoids might be a problem for the bees. Let's ban those or have a moratorium on those. The organophosphates, they're too toxic. Let's phase in different pesticides to replace those. Rather than that one chemical at a time, France is saying, can't farmers we do better? Can't we have integrated pest management? Can't we go light on the pesticides? Can't we find alternative, maybe more labor-intensive ways, maybe smarter ways to use less pesticides? But they've got mandates that say that by 2025, they want a 50% reduction in all pesticides being used by French farmers. And that's sort of a model for the world. It's almost like the climate change goals of carbon. You know, and overall, let's just do a better job. And I think that, you know, we're using less pesticides at schools now in our country. You know, farmers, growers need to realize groundwater's affected, pesticide residues.
And we'll be back with more of that story in just a minute on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.